Turn to Psalm 34. I was reading this morning, and just seemed like the Holy Ghost saying, we're going to read this in our church this morning. I'm not going to comment. I'm not going to preach on it. But I believe there's power in the Word of God. I do. And if I didn't believe that, I have no business standing up here because I have no power to stand before you this morning. The power that I have is in the Word of God, and that's what I believe. Psalm 34, I just want to read through this, and I want you to see it with your eyes. I want you to look at what the Word of God says. This might be for one person this morning, but it might, again, be for the whole congregation. I'm going to leave that up to the Lord. The Bible says, Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. I'm going to hear an amen out of somebody. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That sounds like something my mama would say. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Let me hear an amen out of somebody on that one. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Who's that sound like to you? That's Jesus Christ. And did God perform His word then? And God's going to perform His word even now. Evil shall slay the wicked. You know what that means? Don't worry about the evil people getting away with. They'll bring themselves down. Amen? Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. And that is thus saith the Word of God. Can I hear God's people say amen? Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 10 if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to do this again while we're... Let me come down here. I just feel like I want to come down here today. Come down on your level. Actually, if I was going to be on your level, I would sit down. So if somebody wants to go get me a chair, that'd be fine with me. My feet are really sore today. All that standing and doing weddings and stuff like that. Hebrews chapter 10. Before we get into the message again, I want to ask you today, are you saved? Are you born again? And if you don't know what that means, let me just tell you. Who in here knows the Romans road to salvation? That would be an amen, a nod your head, or yes, I know the... I'm not asking you to quote it. I'm just asking if you know it. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I want you to know, you're sitting there in your pews looking at a sinner. That'd be me. Now, if you want to look over to the left of you or to the right of you, you're still looking at a sinner. Okay? The guy sitting in front of you is a sinner. Because all have sinned. And just because you attended church, that does not exempt you from being a sinner. You all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's your first thing. You need to admit that you're a sinner. Number two, here's what happens to sinners. Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death." This is what you've got coming. You're not going to talk your way out of it, work your way out of it, pay your way out of it. "For the wages of sin is death." The only one who could take care of that problem is Jesus Christ. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm just a simple question to you today. Would you like to go to heaven for all of eternity instead of hell? Simple question. Okay? Simple question. You don't need to know all the doctrines of the faith. You don't need to know this and that and the other. You don't need straight years of Sunday school attendance. You don't need to pay a bunch of money. But I'm going to ask you, do you have an overwhelming desire in you that you want to go to heaven for all of eternity and not go to hell? I want to go to heaven. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. By the way, that gift is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Christ came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." That's what it means right there. Saved from going to hell is what that means. Okay? So Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, hang on, I'll get it in a minute. Help me out here. No, that's 1 John 1, 9. "If we confess with our mouth," I knew it was an if. "If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ," not Buddha, not Allah, not Mike Hoggard, not the Pope, not Billy Graham, not Barack Obama. "If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead," because if you don't believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, how then can you believe that Christ will raise you from the dead? Christ, who was perfect and sinned not, if God couldn't raise Him back from the dead, then how is it that we can believe that a sinner could be raised back from the dead? "If we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Do you believe that? Say amen. Then 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins." So if you have sinned this week, don't confess them to me. Don't confess them to Brother Sterling. There's some other people, probably not in this church, that you shouldn't confess them to, because they'll tell everybody in Jefferson County. But if you have sinned, did you know that you can confess your sins to God and ask God to forgive you, and God will forgive you of your sin? Did you know that? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it would be as if we had never done anything wrong in our whole life. That's how we would stand in God's presence. Somebody say amen. You believe the Bible, say amen. All right. Listen, if you're not saved, I want you to be saved. I want you to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven when I die. Hebrews chapter 10, are you there? Say amen. God gave me a message to preach, and He kind of helped me with how to preach it. And I'm going to try to preach it to you this morning as best as I can, but you ask God to give you grace this morning. Hebrews 10, verse 22. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. Now I want you to look at this right here. As ye see the day approaching. That's going to be the focus of this message this morning. As you see the day approaching. And I'm going to preach this on two levels, and I want you to start thinking about what the day is. I want you to start thinking this morning about what the day is. As you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Two things you need to believe in this morning. Number one, there is a heaven that is an inheritance and a gift for those who want salvation. Do you believe the Bible this morning? Say amen. Number two, there is a hell, and notice that he said a fiery indignation. I can think of a lot of ways in the world that I would rather die than to be burnt alive in a fire. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I'm telling you, I wouldn't want that. Two things you need to believe. Number one, a hell for those who really, or a heaven for those who really want to go there, and a hell for those who want to go there. You say, well, I don't want to go to hell. Then why are you living the way you're living? Why won't you come to Christ? Why won't you confess your sins? Why won't you ask God to change your life, seeing as how you cannot change it on your own? Why won't you do those things? And if you won't do those things, then you must want to go to hell, because it is so easy to not go to hell. Ask and you shall receive, the Bible says. But I want us to think this morning, as you see the day approaching. I want you to think about that. We're preaching on two levels this morning, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, again, thank you, Lord, for mercy and for grace and for love and for help. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for this church and these people. And Lord, I don't know, God, how this message is going to touch somebody's life. Lord, Father, I know how you've dealt with me and continue to deal with me and will continue to deal with me, God, and I thank you for that. And Father, I pray for these people, and I pray, dear God, for all those who would hear this message. Because, Father, Lord, the day is approaching and it's drawing near. We're not having, Lord, we are approaching that day. We need to realize that, God. We need to get it down in our hearts and our minds, God, that we're not gaining time, we're losing it. And Lord, help us to think about our own lives instead of somebody else or what somebody else needs to do. But Father, help us to think about our own lives today. From the preacher, dear God, down to the deacons, the trustees, the Sunday school teachers, the offering takers, the people, Lord, doesn't matter who we are. Help us to think about that day that's approaching. And Lord, just help us. Help us in our lives and help us, Father, in our homes. And help your people today, God. I don't have an agenda, Lord, with this message other than to be obedient to what you said to do. And Father, Lord, that I would be helped and my family would be helped and these people would be helped. And Lord, whoever might hear this message out in this world, God, that they would be helped today to see things how you see them. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. This is one of those sermons where I'm going to need a little help preaching the message. Okay, I'm going to give you the scripture, but I want you to help me with some application this morning. That phrase where it says, and so much the more. In fact, I want to get to this part here. As you see the day approaching, there's two ways that I can preach this. Can anybody guess what that's talking about? What is that referring to? Okay, see how easy this is? It's exactly what I had in mind. There's the day of the Lord is coming nigh. Okay? And everybody says, oh, preacher preached that for years and the Lord hasn't come yet. Yeah, he has. Every time somebody went and killed over, that was the day of the Lord in their life. Okay? So number one, the day of the Lord is coming to you, whether you want it or not. And whether you're ready for it or not, the day of the Lord is coming. In fact, those of you, if you're alive today, you're alive today because of the long suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're lucky He hasn't caught you yet. You're lucky. And I don't believe much in luck, but I use that as an expression to tell you, you ought to get out on your knees and thank God He's not caught you yet. And the day of the Lord, if you're backslid this morning or you're lost, you ought to just be thankful that God has not come and got you yet, that the day of the Lord has not come yet. And I want to tell you something. God is long-suffering with America. We ought to be thankful that we're not all out in the street starving to death. Because that is prophesied in Scriptures. That is coming to America. We ought to be thankful that we haven't been taken out of this good land and thrown into captivity. That is prophesied in the Bible. And that day is coming, my friend. The infrastructure is being built right now. This is not conspiracy theory. This is thus saith the Lord. We ought to be thankful that we're still enjoying our buffets and our air conditioning and our cars and everything else that we have and our televisions and our iPods and our computers and everything else that we have. We ought to be thankful that we're enjoying the good life right now because I'm telling you, God's got a quarrel with this nation. We ought to be thankful. And we just ought to consider ourselves lucky and blessed that it hasn't happened yet. But it will. And then God has a quarrel with this world. And I'm going to show you some verses here in a little bit. But that is a day of the Lord whereby at some point God's going to say enough. And He's going to come and He's going to deal with things. Now, let me ask you this question. In your opinion, are we approaching that day? Let's look around us for a minute and let's see what's going on. Okay, let's see that. And what it is that as we see the rise in the level of iniquity in this world, then we also, those of us who know the Bible and believe the Bible, even to the smallest degree, anybody with any sense will tell you that, you know, like how we, if somebody's bothering us or somebody is harassing us or somebody, our neighbor is doing things in our yard or whatever it is, some sort of harassment or someone is inflicting pain, emotional pain on us or something like that, or our kids are misbehaving, at some point it just builds and builds and builds until what happens? I've had it! I'm done! And then the wrath comes out. And this is us. Okay? And if we have a limit, God, of course, God is more long-suffering than we are, but even God has a limit. Say, I don't know if I believe that, Brother Mike. Well, then go read Genesis 6 and 7. Because God had a line and man crossed it and God said, I've had it. My spirit would not always strive with man, yet his day shall be 120 years. And God destroyed every living creature in whose nostrils was the breath of life. God destroyed every one of them and they perished underwater because the day of the Lord came. So I want you to think about Noah for a minute. God commissions him to build an ark. And he starts building an ark and he's got three sons that are following in their daddy's footsteps and they're building this ark. And God even gave Noah a time frame. Got 120 years, Noah. Get busy. Now, you give me 120 years to do something and it's going to take me 110 years of planning. Or what I'm calling planning. Okay? But as time begins to run out, and Noah knows he's got 120 years, and they're only halfway done with the ark, what are they going to start doing as they see the day approaching? What are they going to start doing? They're going to start working in shifts. They're going to take less of a break. They're going to work night and day if they can. They're going to get very little sleep. And they're going to work 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 more and longer hours and they're going to do more because the day is approaching. And they just happen to know what day that is because God told them 120 years and then it's going to happen. And then 7 days before it actually began raining, God said, for yet 7 days. And so they know they've got 7 days. And the closer it gets, the more work they're doing and the more things they're doing. And I want you to think about this. Okay? This is how it is. So I'm going to ask you a question. If we knew, listen to this, if we knew that the Lord was coming 1 year from today, if God told us and we knew that the Lord was coming 1 year from today, what would we be doing? How would we be spending our lives? The thing is, we don't know, do we? We don't know that it's going to be a year from now or 5 years from now. Or we don't know if it's going to be 2012. You know, like the movie said. We don't know that it's going to be then. But I'm telling you, everything in my being and everything in your being, you know. You know that we're headed to that day. You know we're approaching that day. And we're not getting more time to get things done. We're getting less time to get things done. Can I hear you say amen? Well, let's make this other application in your life. Okay? You go to the doctor. You've been having pains all in your abdomen. And they do a bunch of tests on you. And they tell you 6 months. You've got 6 months. Tops. 6 months. Now, I don't know of anybody that marked it on their calendar and actually died on that day 6 months exactly from the time. I don't know of anybody that's done that. Have you? Some people live longer. Some people live less. But they're telling you you've got 6 months. Or you've got some heart condition. And they'll tell you you'll be lucky if you'll make it another year in the condition that your heart is in. You'll be lucky if that happens. But you know you've got it in your mind, Bob, that you've got a year. Okay? Now, I want to show you the difference of what happens between someone who says they love the Lord and someone who doesn't love the Lord. If you know that you, and if you're an absolute fool and you're an absolute idiot, and that somebody tells you, let's pick on Brady, okay? Pick on Brady. I love Brady, okay? Pick on Brady. Brady's young. He's got his energy in his body. He can do a lot of things, and he's feeling pretty good, but the doctors told him he's got some disease, and 6 months from now, he's going to be dead. If Brady's lost, here's what Brady, as a fool, is going to do. Brady's going to take up smoking. And I mean unfiltered smoking. He's going to get big old cigars about that long and just suck them down. Brady's going to take up drinking. He's going to find somebody. He's going to go out and find somebody that sells a little marijuana. He's going to take it. He don't mind if he gets hooked on marijuana. He don't mind if he gets hooked on methamphetamine. He's going to be dead in 6 months. He don't care. He's going to go out and buy whiskey bottle after whiskey bottle, and he's going to drink. And he's going to find. He's going to start chasing women and catching them. Okay? Because, hey, I got 6 months to live. And what he's doing, watch this now, his level of sinfulness is increasing in his life. He said, you know what, I'm going to go out with a bang. Because he's a fool. And he doesn't believe in God. And he believes that this whole universe is now going to revolve around him for the next 6 months. He's going to die in his sins. That's what sinners do. But here's what happens with people that's got some sense. Some people that even in the back of their mind, they've just known that God's real and that they need to be right with God and this and that and the other. And I know this because I've been at the hospital with some of these people. Lady that grew up, that lived across the street when I grew up. She was in the hospital dying of cancer. And I went to her. And I'm just not comfortable with this, but I sat down with her and I prayed and I said, Jan, I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, I'm not pushy or this and that and the other. I said, but you're in the hospital and you have cancer and they can't cure you and you are going to die. And I want to ask you some very serious questions. Are you ready to meet God? And I just went through the Romans Road of Salvation with her, and I just sat down with her, and I prayed with her, and she gave me confidence. She gave me assurance that she had prayed and made things right with God. I can't judge her soul. I can just see what her actions are. And she said, yes, I prayed all this stuff, but I want to tell you something. If you've got a little bit of sense, even if you don't live for God at all in your life, when you see the day approaching, my friend, you'll be smart, and you'll start getting some things right with God. Can I hear somebody say amen? You'll get smart all of a sudden and say, you know what, I know I've wasted my life, but the preacher's telling me that I can get saved now before I draw my last breath. I think I want to get saved and get right and pray some more and maybe read my Bible a little bit before I die. That's the smart thing to do. You see, you're doing it so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me go back to this here. Okay? That would be a representation of your life, either lost or saved. And so if you're lost, and I think I borrowed this from the Ohio State Highway Department. Okay? Had something to do with roads. I don't know, but it just looked good, so I threw it up there, all right? And I cropped it off so we wouldn't be, all right? But let's say that that represents, on the left side here, that represents where you are right now. Either with sinful activity and sinful lifestyles in your life, or that represents where you are right now as a born-again Christian. And he said, now I'm going to preach through some things here, and I've got 10 minutes to do it, so it's going to take 1 minute per thing to preach. So just bear with me here. But I want you to listen to this. There are some things that we ought to be doing, and as we see the day approaching, we ought to be doing more of them. That's what this says. So much the more, which means increasing, as we see the day approaching. And we'll just do some simple things here. What do you think some of those things are? Number one, we ought to pray more. Number two, we ought to read our Bible more. Amen? I guarantee you, if you want to be right with God, and you know you're going to die in 6 months, you're not going to say, you know what, I'm going to just sit and watch nonstop a week's full of Three Stooges. Always wanted to do that. Okay? You're not going to do that. You're going to want to be reading your Bible more. Something else you want to do. More of. Help me out here. Huh? Why not talk to somebody? Hey, you're fixing to die. You want to make some things right with some people. They saw you as a sinner. What a golden opportunity now to gather your family around your dying bedside and say, children, I live my life as an infidel, but I want to tell you, Jesus has saved my soul and I want to die and go to heaven and I want to see you in heaven. That's happened before, by the way. Because now you're not scared of them anymore. You can say whatever you want to say. You've got a right. You're dying. So much the more as you see the day approaching. What else? Somebody else. Something you think you ought to be doing more. It's like Family Feud here. Your top five answers. Huh? Meditating on the Word of God. Thinking about these things. Somebody else. Praising the Lord. Turn off the rock and roll music and get you an old hymn book and just start singing to the Lord, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You'll be doing that more as you see the day approaching. Frank? Get in your Bible. Listen to this man back here. Get in your Bible more and more. Somebody else. Go to church. Oh, hey, that happens to be right here in the text. This sermon is not me beating you over the head and how come you're not in church all the time. I promise you that's not what this is about. It happens to be in the text. And I will tell you that when things really start getting serious in this country, you'll be here. And so will some other people that are not here now. Because God's going to make some people scared. And when they tell you, Sister Betty, when they sit down with you and they tell you, you've got a big problem, we can't operate it, we can't fix it, you're going to be dead in 6 months. You don't go, oh, praise the Lord, I'm out of here. It's going to scare you nearly to death. I don't care what kind of Christian you are. And I think that the closer we get to the day, I think God's going to kick in some people's... I've got hope. I think God's going to kick in some people's lives. And we're going to have a church service, and they're going to be here. I've seen it happen, haven't you? Let's look at the day approaching. Isaiah 13, how ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It's within reach. We're going to see it at some point, Joe. We're going to see it within reach, within grasp. Okay? For the day of the Lord is at hand, it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. What did I just tell you all ago? That when people are going to be confronted with the day of the Lord, their heart's going to melt. Well, this Bible's right, isn't it? And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. Listen, when the woman stands up and says, it's time,
We don't monkey around, do we? We go to running. Get in the car. Drive furiously to the hospital. Break speed records. And run stoplights. I did. I run every stoplight on Highway 30 with Alicia. And you know, Highway 30's got all these stoplights. I didn't care, man. 9 o'clock at night, I busted through every one of those. I'm not having a baby in this car. It's not paid for yet. As travail, and when the woman finally says, it's time, buddy, we kick it into high gear. And everything that we had thought about doing, all of a sudden, we're going to do. So he says, and they shall be amazed one at another, their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger. There's that verse that talks about how God is love to everybody. Oh, God is love. Oh, there's no hell. Oh, God's not going to get me. I want to tell you something. The word of the Lord said that God on that day is going to be cruel and He's going to have fierce anger. To lay the land desolate, He shall destroy the sinners out of it. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2, he said, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, is that the day of Christ is what? It's at hand. It's within grasp. We can see it coming. It's almost within our reach. It's what he was talking about. Both the day of your death and the day of the Lord's coming. The day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a what? Falling away first. So watch this now, okay? Here's what's going to happen. Hopefully, it doesn't happen to anybody in this room. I hope it doesn't. I hope beyond all hope that everybody in this room right now on the day of the Lord, we're all going to the same place. And that's not hell, by the way. I hope we are all going to the same place. I hope that for you. I do. I don't want to see you burn in hell. And I hope you don't want to see me burn in hell. But the sad truth of it is that as the day approaches, watch this. There are those who are going to be so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay? That means that their level of faith and their trust and their actions and their deeds and everything, all of a sudden, they are increasing in their knowledge of the Lord and their love for the Lord and their desire for the kingdom. I mean, everything that we're supposed to have in us right now is going to increase. How many of you believe that? Say amen. It's going to happen, by the way. But there are those it's not going to happen in. And instead of the things in their life that should be, instead of them increasing so much the more, they're going the opposite direction. They're falling away. And we can see a falling away taking place right now. Can we not? We can see, hey, they're falling away from the Bible. In churches all over this town, this Bible means nothing to them. Means absolutely nothing to them. And that is part of, see, while we see the day approaching, we should be increasing, number one, in our reading, but number two, in our trust in this book. Our trust in this book. I believe what this Bible says. We should be increasing in that as we see the day approaching. I guarantee you, if they told you were going to die, you'd be saying, you know what? I'm not going to be a textual critic and say, well, I don't believe the original Greek really says this. You're just going to read it and believe it. Somebody say amen. But here's what's happening, D. We got a bunch of people sitting in church pews and pastors behind pulpits that are falling away. And so much the more with them as we see the day approaching. The falling away is increasing. More and more churches, more and more denominations, more and more pastors and church people, they're falling away instead of increasing. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I want to tell you what, that day, that is going to be a terrible day on planet Earth. But it's coming, my friend. And so we go back to Hebrews, and very simply, very quickly, this is what we should be increasing in. You see, I had this message in my mind to preach all week, and I finally sat down and said, Lord, I don't know how to preach this message. And I'm looking right at the text, and it's right there on how to preach it. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says instead of what Mike Hoggard thinks you ought to be doing. Number one, as we see the day approaching, we should be drawing closer to God with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Somebody say amen. Instead of you backsliding, we should be drawing closer, and so much the more as we see the day approaching, so that by the time the Lord comes or the time I die, I want to be right there with Him. Instead of this far from Him, or even this far from Him, by the time it comes around, I want to be right there. And I've asked God, after being electrocuted, I asked God, God, when it's really time for me, because it really wasn't time for me to die then, or I'd have been dead. But God, when it's really time for me to die, I want to be right there. And I can't make myself get there. God, will You draw me to You? I believe You will. That psalm we read, I trust God. Amen? I trust God. So number one, drawing near with a full heart of assurance. Number two, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. That means, hey, you know what I've heard done? I've been with people when they've died. I was with a lady one time, and she had a confession to make to one of her daughters. And she said, she was within hours of dying. And she said, clear the room. And her daughter came in and she told her something. I won't repeat it, but she told her daughter something. She confessed it before she was dead out of this world and got it out of there. And I want to tell you something. The closer you get to the day, the more things you're going to be confessing to God. I guarantee you that fear of death and the fear of the day of the Lord is going to start breaking and chipping away that shell of pride that we have built over our lives and over our sinfulness. And I promise you, as we see the day approaching, we're not going to be confessing less. We're going to be confessing more. And if you find yourself confessing less, then you're not drawing near to God. You're falling away from Him. Most Bible's right, isn't it? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You say, as we get closer to the day of the Lord, should we take more baths? I think you ought to take more baths anyway. That's just good for you. Amen? Taking a bath is good. Does it mean we should be baptized every day? No. You know what the water is? You know what the body is? It's the bride. It's the church. We should be washing the church, the bride, with pure water. That means more preaching of the Word of God, more reading of the Word of God, more meditating on the Word of God, and as Frank said, more Bible! More, not less. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. So something that should be increasing is, as we see the day approaching, it's like we're holding on to a rope, and the closer we get to the day of the Lord, the tighter grip we should have on that rope. Makes sense, doesn't it? So if you were hanging over a cliff somewhere, and you were holding on to a rope, and you could see the rescue helicopter coming near to you, you wouldn't say, wow, they're going to rescue me, I can let go now. You would somehow, some way, summon the strength, everything that you've got into your hands to holding the rope tighter until the time they came and rescued you. Makes sense, doesn't it? But what are some people doing? They're letting go. It's going to be too late. Hold fast the profession. And it didn't say just hold fast our faith. He said hold fast the what of our faith? Profession, David. You know what that means? Coming out of the closet about your Christianity. See, everybody suspects that you might go to church. Now you're going to come out. And you're going to hold fast even so much the more the profession of your faith. You're not going to be ashamed to let people know that you pray and that you read your... In fact, they're going to catch you doing it. Without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works,
The closer we get to death, you know what people do on their deathbed? They bring in a lawyer and they say, I'm going to write out my will and my testament. Why? Because they spent all their years with their wealth and their things thinking of themselves. And now what are they going to do, Jared? They're going to think of their family. And I want everything that I've got. I want it to go here, and I want it to go there, and I want it to go there. And I'm telling you, as we see the day approaching, folks, we're going to start living a whole lot less for ourselves, and we're going to start living a whole lot more for Jesus. You can count on it, unless you're on the wrong side. And then what's going to happen is, instead of you living for everybody else or living for God, you're going to start living less and less for God, and you're going to start living. See, remember Brady the heathen? Hedonistic Brady. Oh, I'm going to die in 6 months. He's not considering anybody else. Let us consider one another. And by the way, haven't we provoked people before? Right? I mean, like provoke them in a bad way. Haven't we done that one? So now it's going to turn. Now, watch this. Now we're provoking other Christians to good works. And I am going to get to the non-forsaking assembly of ourselves together. How is it that we can provoke people who are not going to church to come to church? Come to church. Right? Come to church. You see, if you invite somebody to church next Sunday and then you don't come and they do, that looks bad. Doesn't it? It looks bad, doesn't it? Yeah, I got invited by so-and-so. Are they here? Or did they come to the early service? We don't have an early service. It's just real embarrassing. So we provoke people. We provoke our children. We provoke our husbands or our wives to good works by us doing the good works. And we do more and more and more of them as we see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Maybe, just maybe, there would come a time, Jeff, when all of a sudden God stirs His people to just show up at church. And it would be like Tuesday afternoon at 2:33 in the afternoon, and all of a sudden God says, we're going to gather here, and all of a sudden we all show up in the same place because the Spirit brought us here. And we're not going to forsake that because we knew for some reason God wanted us here, and here we are. How many of you believe that could happen? Say amen. That will happen. Listen, I am not trying to provoke you to manufacture something in your flesh. I'm telling you, listen to this, I'm telling you something that is going to happen whether you're a part of it or not. Amen? It is going to happen. I promise you, as that day approaches, God's going to muster His troops, and they're going to gather together, and they're going to provoke one another, and they're going to, and all of these things are going to take place. Whether they take place with you or not, that's your call. Because they are going to take place, and there are going to be some people that are going to increase in this as time goes on. But if you're not increasing, then what are you going to be doing? Decreasing and falling away. And the choice comes now on what you want to do. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, but as the manner of some is. See, it's already happening. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Exhorting one another, and so much the more. Did you know that there are people in this church that need prayed for a little bit more than they did a year ago? How many of you can say amen to that? There are some people that have backslid out of this church, and they really need somebody praying for them. And they don't need it just hit and miss. They need it more and more and more every day. There are lost people out there that are not getting more better. They're getting worse, and they need somebody interceding for them and praying for them. You know what's biblical to do? When you see people sinning, and I saw some people sinning yesterday, you know what I did? I prayed, God, forgive them. Did you know that's biblical? Daniel prayed it for the whole nation of Israel. And is God going to answer that prayer? He is. Did you know that it's okay to pray that God would forgive somebody else? Because then really what you're doing is you're praying that at some point they'll be saved. That's what I found myself doing yesterday. God, You've forgiven me.
God, would you forgive them? And so much the more as we see the day approaching. And that's how we're supposed to be. But if you're on the other side of this, here's what's going to happen. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That is called, and some people have a problem with this, that is called apostasy. And I'm telling you that you're going to be in one of two groups when this day approaches. You're going to be in the group that is increasing in faith and increasing in service to God, or you're going to be in the group that just keeps on sinning and keeps on going, and at some point God's going to say, I've had enough. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignations which shall devour the adversaries. Now, I'm going to close with this. I think, Andrew, do I have anything else? No, I'm done. It's going to devour the adversaries. The word adversary means those that are adverse. Okay? If someone is adverse to something, that means they don't want to do it. So I'm adverse to going to the dentist to get a root canal. Amen? They ain't going to do it. Okay? Dave. We were talking out in the foyer, remember? There's some people, I'm adverse to not eating so much. Amen? I'm adverse to it. It's a real struggle. You can be adverse to having more Christianity in your life. And maybe today, you are that right now. You're adverse to it. You don't want it. I go to church once a week, and you're done. And here God is saying, hey, the day is getting closer. You should be increasing. And you're saying, I don't want it. And you're an adversary to the moving of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. You're adverse to that. And I think it's probably time that you change your attitude. Don't you think? So I'm going to be your doctor today. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how much longer you have to live, but you are going to die. I'm telling you that. I don't know how much longer God is going to put up with this. But at some point, God's going to be done, and He's going to send His Son back in fiery indignation. He's going to remove the sinners out of the land. And I'm telling you, that day is coming. And if I were you, I would get my house in order. If I were you, I would get my house in order. So I'm the doctor, and that's what I'm telling you to do. Whether you do it today, whether you do it tomorrow, if you want to think about it for a while, then you go ahead and think about it. I'm not a hard-hitting salesman. But if I were you, I wouldn't think about it too long. If I were you, I'd get things right. And I would say, God, when you're ready to start increasing these things in everybody else, I want to be in on it. Does that sound reasonable?